Chapter 5. Another Horrible Ghost. At 10:30, the ghost heard the family going to bed. For some time, he was disturbed by wild shouts of laughter from the twins. They, with the lightheartedness of schoolboys, were evidently amusing themselves before they retired to rest. But at 11:15, all was still. As midnight sounded, he left his room. The owl beat against the windows, and the wind screamed around the house like a lost soul. But the Otis family slept unaware of the danger. High above the rain and storm, the ghost could hear the steady snoring of the minister. He stepped quietly out into the hall with an evil smile on his cruel mouth. The moon hid her face in a cloud as he stole past the great window, where his own coat of arms and those of his murdered wife were drawn in blue and gold. On and on he glided, like an evil shadow, the very darkness seeming to hate him as he passed. Once he thought he heard something and froze in silence, but it was only a dog from the Red Farm, so he went on. He whispered strange curses and held up the rusty dagger from time to time in the midnight air. Finally, the ghost reached the corner of the hall that led to Washington's room. For a moment he paused there, the wind blowing his long gray hair about his head and twisting and blowing his robe in wonderfully scary ways. Then the clock struck 12:15, and he felt the time had come. He laughed to himself and turned the corner. However, no sooner had he done so than he fell back with a terrified scream, hiding his white face in his hands. Right in front of him was standing a horrible ghost. It was still and as monstrous as a nightmare. Its head was bald and shiny. Its face was round, fat, and white. And terrible laughter seemed to have changed its features into a permanent grin. Red light shone in its eyes. The mouth was a well of fire. And a terrible robe, like his own, twisted and moved around the ghost. On its chest was a small card with strange writing in antique characters. It seemed to be some writing of shame, some record of wild sins, or some awful list of crimes. And, with its right hand, it held up a sword. Never having seen a ghost before, he naturally was terribly frightened, and, after a quick second glance at the awful ghost, he ran back to his room. His long robe twisted around him as he ran, causing him to trip now and again. Finally, he accidentally dropped the rusty dagger into the minister's boots, where it was found in the morning by a servant. Once in the privacy of his own room, he threw himself down on his small bed and hid his face under the covers. After a time, however, he regained his courage, and he decided to go and speak to the other ghost as soon as it was day. Accordingly, just as the dawn was touching the hills with silver, he returned to the spot where he had first laid eyes on the ghost. He now felt that, after all, two ghosts were better than one, and that, with the aid of his new friend, he might safely win his battle with the twins. When he reached the spot, however, a terrible sight met his gaze. Something had evidently happened to the ghost, for the light had entirely faded from its eyes. The sword had fallen from its hand, and it was leaning up against the wall in a strained and uncomfortable manner. He rushed forward and grabbed it in his arms, when, to his horror, the head slipped off and rolled onto the floor. Then the body relaxed flat on the floor. And he found himself holding on to an old white sheet with a stick and a kitchen knife. Upon closer inspection, the head was a turnip lying at his feet. Unable to understand this curious transformation, he reached for the small card with writing. And there, in the gray morning light, he read these fearful words: "Ye Otis ghost, ye only true and original ghost, beware of imitations. All others are fake." The whole thing flashed across his mind. He had been tricked. He had been outsmarted. A look of anger and frustration came into his eyes, and he ground his teeth together. Raising his hands high above his head, he promised to take revenge on the twins as soon as he heard the cock crow twice. Hardly had he finished this awful promise when, from the red roof of a distant home, a cock sounded. He laughed a long, low, bitter laugh and waited. Hour after hour he waited, but the cock, for some strange reason, did not crow again. Finally, at 7:30, the arrival of the servants made him give up. He walked back to his room, thinking of his promise and forming a plan. There in his room, he consulted several old books. He then retired to a comfortable lead coffin and stayed there till evening.